is the book. And I want to call your attention again to verse number 1. And I want to read through verse number 13. When you have located John chapter 6, just say amen.
Amen.
All right, all right. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were distressed. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penneth worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. This morning, I want to talk about problems. I'm not going to ask you. Do people in Dallas have problems? People in Houston have problems. And so if you don't mind, I want to talk about problems. But I just don't want to talk about problems. I want to talk about Jesus, the great problem solver. Jesus, the great problem solver. On your way to your seats, touch your neighbor in front, behind. Just tell him, Jesus is the great problem solver. Great problem solver. Be seated, be seated. Be seated. I don't want you to miss the relevance of this message. I know the first quarter you are dealing with his prolific power. And I believe that many of the miracles that Jesus performed were miracles to demonstrate and validate who he was. But the miracles were basically done to speak to a problem. Don't want you to miss that. So many times we go through life and we act like we don't have problems. We act like we're problem free simply because we've been to the water and had our sins washed away. The assumption is I'm going to live a life that is problem free. Not so. Not so. And so I need you today to dive deeply with me in the text, because I believe from this text, we can get a remedy from our problems. we can get a solution from our problems. Now, if you don't have any problems, if you've never had any problems, if you don't anticipate any problems, you had communion, you can leave your collection on the way out. Okay, I want to make sure I'm talking to the right audience, because sometimes, you know, you go to another place and you don't really know. And so if you've never had a problem, if you don't anticipate a problem, if you don't have a problem right now, would you please stand? I thought so. Come on now. Get in this lesson with me this morning and see it. And I know. Perhaps there is a question floating in the audience. Why is this story in the Bible? Be clear. This story occurs in all four Gospels. It is the only miracle, it is the only story other than the resurrection, which is the supreme miracle that occurs in all four Gospels. There's got to be a reason that the Holy Spirit had this penned. And I believe the reason he had it penned is because it's relevant for you and I today. Though we're not a part of the 5,000, though we're not on a mountain, I believe there are situations in our lives, problems in our lives that we need God to answer. Anybody want to say amen right there? Come here. Do you know that you could be sitting in the church house? Huh? You could be sitting in the church house and a problem could occur in your life right now today. You could be sitting in the church house. I don't want to alarm anybody, but somebody could be breaking in your house. Huh? You could be sitting in the house, in the church house, and you could have a heart attack. I'm telling you this morning that problems occur everywhere, and what we need is we need a solution. Would somebody shout solution? Rich people have problems. Poor people have problems. Smart people have problems. Not so smart people have problems. Members of the Baptist Church have problems. And members of the Church of Christ have problems. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I'm suggesting to you clearly that problems are a part of life. And I am suggesting to you that what we need is we need a strategy to deal with our problems. Somebody says that one day is chicken, the next day is feathers. Somebody says one day it's a paycheck, next day it's an eviction notice. And so in this world, we need to be able to have a recourse when we encounter problems. I don't care who you are not immune to problems. Touch the person next to you and just tell them, I know you're not problem free. Smile real big though. Just touch them. Smile real big. I don't want them to get mad at you. Just tell them, I know you're not problem free. You looking all good. You smelling all good. You talking, acting like it. But I know you're not problem free. Listen. Even the president of the United States of America has problems. Yeah, y'all know that? If you live in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, you still gonna have problems. Anybody heard the name Paul Manafort? Donald better watch out. Anybody heard the name? It's been in the news all week long. Anybody heard the name Roger Stone? Yeah, the Don's got problems. Michael Cohen. His fixer. Michael Cohen used to say, if somebody does something to Mr. Trump, Mr. Trump doesn't like it, I do everything in my power to resolve it to Mr. Trump's benefit. If you do something wrong, I'm going to come at you. I'm going to grab you by the neck and I am going to let you know I'm not finished until you back up. That's what Michael used to say. That's what Michael said when he was giving Stormy that $130,000. Yeah, that's what he said. But now he's changed his story. Y'all know what he's saying now? My wife, my daughter, my son have my first loyalty and always will. I put my family and country first. Well, what happened to Donald? Listen, don't miss it. I'm not going to get in your space and ask you what your problem is. I'm not going to get in your space and ask you, do you have a problem right now? But the truth of the matter, and I believe this with all my heart, if I ask you today, if I ask this audience, if you got a problem, please stand. I believe 75% of the people in this audience today would stand. You see, the question is, I don't care how educated you are, I don't care how smart you are, I don't care how much money you make, problems come to everybody. Somebody say amen. Amen. So here's the question. The question is, what are you going to do when you have a problem? You going to disguise it? No, sir. Or cover it up? No, sir. Going to pretend? You going to have a nervous breakdown? What are you going to do when you have a problem? Who are you going to call? I'm going to get those people up in media. They stealing my thunder. Who are you going to call? Who? I'm not calling Ghostbusters. That is not who I'm calling. If you're going to call anybody, you ought to call Jesus. Would somebody just shout amen? I was a little boy, I used to sing that song, J-E-S-U-S, J-E-S-U-S, and Jesus was his name. We need to call Jesus. In this particular story, and it's so powerful, in this particular story, academicians, theologians, they all say that there is a purpose in this particular story. And the purpose is to show that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. That he is the great provision for all of our needs. And trying to fix your problems without Jesus is insane. And in order to fix your problems, not only do you need Jesus, but secondly, you need faith. Somebody shout faith. This particular story is found in four books. I mentioned that earlier in Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 9, and John chapter 6. It's there. Come close to me. Let's sit in this for a second. I need you to see the setting. The setting is a remote place. It's a desert, wilderness-like place. It is late in the evening. In a matter of minutes, in a matter of hours, the sun will go down. And so how will people navigate back to their home territory? They are miles away from their home. One of the sources says they have been following Jesus for 3 days. And so all of the doggy bags that they had filled before they left home had been consumed. We're in a wilderness. No H-E-B's, no Lubies, and no McDonald's. This is a serious problem. Sources have said that there are at least 5,000 men in this setting, 5,000, not including women and children. And so if you give each man a wife and 2 kids, you get very quickly to 20,000. And so this is a perplexing problem. It's in the wilderness. Their resources have been exhausted. Their backs are against the wall. And so the question is, what are you going to do? But before we get to a possible solution, I don't want you to miss the fact that these people have been following Jesus. Did I say they had been following Jesus? Can I say it again? They had been following Jesus. Now, if you are following Jesus today, I need you to just kind of clear your throat and say, let's do it again. If you are following Jesus today, I need you to clear your throat. What's your point, preacher? Here is my point. Even people who follow Jesus have problems. Even people who follow Jesus sometimes end up with their back against the wall. Christians end up in the divorce court. Christians end up in the ER. Christians get fired. Christians get evicted from their apartments. Christians lose their bank accounts. I'm telling you, simply because you follow Jesus, you don't get an exempt card. See this. I am suggesting that this story is relevant because it's about a miracle, it's about a problem, and it's about Jesus, the problem solver. Problems are a part of life. He never promised us a problem-free life. He never promised us sunshine without rain. He never promised us joy without pain. He never promised us happiness without sorrow. In fact, just the opposite is in the Bible. Anybody remember the old man Job? Job testified, man that is born of a woman is of what? And those few days are full of what? Paul, writing to his mentor or mentee, Timothy, said, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so I'm not confused. I know, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to somebody in this audience this morning, and you have pain in your life. I don't know why God gave me this message, but I know he gave it to me because there's somebody sitting in this audience right now, and you got some hurt going on. There's somebody sitting in this audience, and right now you are involved in a test. Right now you have a problem. And so the question is, not do I have a problem? The question is, what am I going to do with my problem? I want to give you, write these down. I want to give you four possible approaches to problems. I want to step in the text. I want to stretch the text just a little bit, but I want you to see it because I believe it will become relevant. I want to give you four approaches to problem solving. Here's the first approach. It is a passive. It's a passive style of problem solving. It is faithless. Would you shout faithless? It's passive. Faithless. Here it is. Matthew chapter 14 is the disciples' approach to the problem. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 15, the Bible says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away. Everybody say, send the multitude away.
Send the multitude away.
What are you saying, disciples? Send the multitude away. They can go into the villages and they can get themselves something to eat. I call this a kick the problem down the road solution. I'm not taking ownership of this problem. Jesus, don't take ownership of this problem. It's somebody else's problem. Kick that can down the road, pass the buck. This is not our problem, it's their problem. Ignore the problem, bury your head in the sand. Come here, come close. In a big audience like this, there is someone who has adopted the passive, faithless approach. You're kicking the can down the road. Somebody said, preacher, give me an example. Well, perhaps there's someone in this audience right now and you're in an abusive relationship. You've been in that abusive relationship and you keep saying, you know what? It's going to get better. And so you take no action whatsoever. You're not talking to God about it. You're not talking to a counselor about it. You're just saying, you know what? Sooner or later, it's going to get better. Perhaps there's somebody in this audience today and you are employed at a job where you are being neglected, mistreated, devalued. And you haven't spoken up for yourself. You haven't said, why she got a raise and I didn't get a raise. You're just sitting there. It's passive. And you're telling yourself it's going to work out. Can I suggest to you that God gave us a mouth. He gave us 2 ears. He gave us ability because God wants us to look out for ourselves. Too many times in life, instead of us clearing our throat and speaking up and owning the problem and asking God to help us with the problem, we kick the problem down the road. Moses one day told the children of Israel, you know what, y'all? We have been going around this mountain long enough. We have been circling this mountain long enough. Let's break camp. Sometimes people need to hear from the pulpit, if God be for you, who can be against you? It's a passive approach. Look at another approach. Here's approach that I call analytical. It's an approach that is a style of problem solving, but it too is faithless. Somebody shout faithless. Somebody shout analytical. It's an analytical style of problem solving, but it's faithless. It's Philip's response. Philip says it. Look closely with me. John 6, verse 7. Look what Philip says. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. You know what Philip did? Philip pulled out his calculator. Philip perused the audience. I don't know if he saw 5,000, 15,000, 20,000, but Philip pulled out his calculator and Philip started saying, listen, now even Jesus, if we had this much money, we still couldn't feed all of these people. He is using his mind, but he is not using his mind to connect with the real source. I can't help but wonder. I can't help but wonder, is there a person that I'm speaking to this morning that if the truth was told, you had a restless night last night? Yes, that stress has really gotten the best of you. Yes, you are trying to be analytical. You are trying to work your way out of the problem. But the truth is, all you're doing is repeating the same old strategy over and over. And that strategy is not taking you anywhere. You analytical, but you are analytically stressed out. Philip said, even if we had that much money, we couldn't feed all these people. Sometimes the analytical approach doesn't do us any good. I know we all have our own gray matter and we all can think through things, but sometimes instead of trying to think through things, we ought to take those things to Jesus. Quickly, let's grab the last one. Here's the one. Here's the one I'm recommending for myself and for all of us. Here's the one. I call it the decisive. Somebody say decisive. It's going to take action. But it's going to take action with faith. Action with faith. It's Andrew's approach to the problem. I skipped one. Can I back up? Yeah, can I back up? The third one was Andrew's approach to the problem. Here it is. John 6, verse 8 and 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Look at this one. Andrew is looking at the solution, but he misses it because he only sees one part of it. He sees the food, but then he ends it by saying, "But what is it among so many?" It is a faithless statement. It's a statement that says, "I see something, but even as I see it, I don't believe it's possible." You do know that sometimes in life it gets dark. You do know that sometimes in life the road gets bumpy. You do know that sometimes in life we cannot trace him, but we ought to trust him. He's in a situation where he says to himself, "I see something, but I don't see how that something works. I'm frustrated. I'm just going to do something. I'm going to quit this marriage. I'm going to quit this job. I'm going to quit this church. In fact, the truth be told, I'm going and call on my ex. And we're going to happy hour together. And I'm going to get happy." Look at it. He's got a problem. They've got a problem. But he cannot see Jesus as the solution. Run with me now to this last one. This last one is the one I love. It's what I call the rational style of problem solving. It is faith-based. Somebody shout faith-based. Faith is all in it. Faith is all in it. It is the solution that Andrew saw, but Andrew didn't see it through to the end. Look at it. Mark chapter 6, verse 39 through 42. "And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves, gave it to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fish divided among them all. And they did all eat and were all filled." It's amazing when you ask Jesus to help you. Can I say that again? It's amazing. I mean, the solution could be right in front of your face. You could be right there ready to touch the solution. But if you don't incorporate Jesus, we need to have Jesus in our lives. Somebody shout, amen. Amen. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. When Jesus got involved, Jesus says, "Now everybody sit down." When Jesus got involved, Jesus started praying. When Jesus got involved, Jesus started breaking bread. When Jesus got involved, everybody had their problems met. Oh, you got to see it. Somebody says, what are you suggesting today, preacher? I'm suggesting that whatever the problem is, I don't care how complicated it is, I don't care how long it's existed, whatever the problem is, when we take it to Jesus, everything is all right. What's your problem? For a second, put the 5,000 in the parking lot, and let's talk about my problem and your problem. Can I tell you, you heard Brother Gibbs say. But Gibbs said that the reason my wife is not here is because she had knee surgery. And she did. She had knee surgery Tuesday. And so in between services, I pulled up the phone and I called, and she didn't answer. I pulled it up, called, she didn't answer again. And so I started calling, and I called my daughter, and I said, hey, baby, where's Mom? My daughter tried to push me off. Oh, Daddy, we all right. Baby, where's Mom? Baby, are y'all at the doctor's office? Did you have to rush Mama to the hospital? Yeah, Daddy. We're at the hospital. My wife called me back, and my wife said, baby, the knee started turning blue and green and all kinds of colors and got warm. She said, but now you just go on and preach. But she didn't know I already had Jesus as my problem solver. Right. You didn't hear me. Right. What no need of me getting all worried about it? I'm here. He's there. Right. And if Jesus is on the case, why do I need to worry? What I need to do is do what she said, go on and preach and have some faith. You know we need faith. Somebody shout, we need faith. That was weak. Shout it again. We need faith.
Yes, sir.
Told myself when I got that, God really wants me to remind people, whatever the problem is, you cannot resolve the problem by yourself. Take the problem to the Lord. The Bible says, without faith is what?
Impossible.
Is what?
Impossible.
We need Jesus in our lives. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God, he is going to supply all my needs. But he's not just going to supply all my needs. When he gets through, I'm going to have 12 baskets left over because he's a great philanthropist. He's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. He's the one that controls the universe. And as long as he is on my side. Can I ask a couple of crazy questions? And I'll be going in my seat in just a second. Can I ask a couple of crazy questions? If I can, just say, okay. Anybody here ever tried Jesus? Talk back to me. Anybody here ever seen Jesus make a way out of no way? Talk back to me. Somebody today needs to hear him say afresh, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Somebody needs to hear him say afresh, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Oh, 12 basket left. He's some kind of savior. He is some kind of savior. Jesus once said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy. Anybody here got a little problem going on right now? Just kind of clear your throat a little bit. Better still, because your spouse might be next to you and the problem might be next to you. So just kind of wink at me. Let me see. Just wink at me. Let me see. He says, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden. And he makes a promise. And I will give you what? See, when you got Jesus on board with you, when you got Jesus breaking and blessing, when you got Jesus dispensing, then you can rest. Somebody shout rest.
Rest.
You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. No high blood pressure. No stress out. I got Jesus. Jesus, why you come? What's your purpose for coming to planet Earth? What's that all about? You in the courts of heaven? You living good? Why you come? Jesus, in his inauguration message, Luke 4, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Why you come, Jesus? I come to break chains.
Yes, sir.
Come to free my people. I come to bless my people. Oh, the old church used to sing, trials dark, and we cannot understand. That's the old church. All the way that God will lead us to that blessed promised land, but he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better when? The old church. The old church used to say, I must tell Jesus. I can hear my daddy right now. My daddy would go real high on that Jesus. I must tell Jesus all of my trial. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus I cannot bear my burdens alone. The old church used to sing, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Got good news. Got to quit, but I got good news. Good news is so good that it's headline news. Front page news. Here's the good news. One plus God is a victory. Hey, one plus God is a victory. Here's some more good news. God is still in the fix-it business.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He can fix broken bodies. He can fix broken relationships. He can fix broken marriages. He can fix broken finances. He can fix broken children. I'm telling you today, he's a mighty good Savior. Anybody want to testify with me? Talk back to me. Oh, somebody says, preacher, you said he can fix broken relationships. I'm in a situation right now. It's broken. Preacher, you got any Bible for the fact that he can fix broken relationships? I tell you, let's go to John chapter 4, verse 6, and I want you to meet a woman at the well. That woman had been married 5 times. And she was with somebody that wasn't her own. Oh, but when she met Jesus, Jesus fixed that broken relationship. Somebody said, you said he could fix broken bodies. Preacher, I'm sick. Arthritis is getting me. Preacher, I'm sick. Blood pressure, high blood pressure. Preacher, you said he could fix broken bodies. You got in the Bible for that? Yeah, ask the woman in Luke chapter 8 that had been sick with an issue of blood for 12 long years. She told herself that if I could just touch the hem of his garments, then she found Jesus, and Jesus fixed it. You said, preacher, He can fix broken children. Preacher, my grandchildren, they all over the city. My children, preacher, what, ask the woman from Nam. Luke chapter 7, on her way to the graveyard to bury her son. She had already buried her husband, but then she found Jesus. Jesus put it all back. Anybody here? I'm just asking. Go into my seat in a second. Anybody here found Jesus? Talk back to me. Anybody here found Jesus and today your life is better? Talk back to me. Anybody here found Jesus and Jesus fixed your problem? Talk back to me. Don't miss it. He loves us. He said, I came that they may have life and have life more abundantly. I didn't just come so they can have eternal life. I came so they could have life on planet Earth and eternal life more abundantly. Oh, he's a good, good Savior. Everybody stand to your feet. Don't worry. I'm doctrinally sound. I grew up in the Church of Christ. I know it's invitation time. Invitation time is a time when we extend the invitation. When we ask people if you've sinned, you got some sin on you, tripped. You tripped over your own lace, shoelaces. You hurt yourself. You fell down. It's a time when we say, listen, come back. People many times come back and say, brothers and sisters, I've sinned. I made a mistake. They get it right. Invitation time is also a time when we tell the world, listen, if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, behind me, there's Jesus' operating room. He'll take you down in the water and he'll rip away the old man and the new man will come out. You can walk away being a member of the body of Christ. But what I really want you to hear me say is those things, but I want the church to hear me. Listen to me closely. I want the church to hear me say, it's prayer time. Would you gently touch your neighbor and just say, it's prayer time.
It's prayer time.
The great minister of this church, the elders, they've already come forward. So many people came this morning because people saw and were reminded that whatever it is, if I take it to Jesus, Jesus can fix it. I came here loaded down. I came here in my Sunday to go to meeting clothes, and I have problems, but I know that if I trust Jesus, people started walking. They didn't wait for a song. It's like, thank you for reminding me, preacher, I need Jesus. I know I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I got that call, or when I made that call today and found out my wife was in the hospital room, realizing I'm 300 miles from her, I started saying, Jesus, 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 you know I'm here. You know what I'm trying to do. Jesus! Somebody today, we're going to sing a song. People are coming. You need Jesus? No, nobody's going to say, fill out this card and tell me what you've been doing. You just want to come. I believe these elders can get a prayer through. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I believe this preacher can get a prayer through. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
When I get through preaching, I already told you my problem. I'm going down there. I'm not going to fill out a card, but I want them to pray over me. I want them to pray over my wife.
Amen.
No, I'm not running. I'm going to be here at 3:00 because I'm saying, God, I'm here. You there. You got it. I don't have it. I'm trusting you.
You gonna come? The Revelation writer says, behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Any man will open the door, I will come in and I will sup with him. Don't you want Jesus in the mix of your problems? You gonna sing a song? You need to come? Yes, you can come if you need to ask for prayer. You can come if you need to confess your sins. Yes, you can come if you need to be baptized. But right now, we're coming because it's prayer time. Sing the song. Who's coming to Jesus? Sing the song.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Lord, you help me.
Calling,
Lord, you help me.
For you and for me.
Lord, you help me.
See,
Lord, you know I'm trying.
Portals, he's waiting.
The Lord is
and
heaven.
Watching for you.
Lord is heaven.
And for me. Come,
Lord,
home.
I'm your child.
Come home.
Lord, I'm your child.
Ye who are.
Lord, it's me. Me standing in need of your prayer.
Home.
Lord, help me through this one.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus
is calling.
Oh, sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus
is pleading? Aren't you tired of trying to fix it yourself?
Pleading for you.
Aren't you tired of waiting on somebody else to help you get out of it?
Why should we linger and heed not his mercy?
What's the feeding of the 5,000 about Jesus?
Mercy.
I want people to bring me their problems.
And
I can fix it.
Me. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Calling.